Okay, we're on. Go ahead. You want to read? Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. The weekly shiur from Masechet Chagiga is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA, who always strives to make the result of your tax filings a good reason for Chagiga, and Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Simcha ben Adin Minya.
Okay, thank you. We are doing Chagiga Daf Chaf Hey, starting at the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. The previous Mishnah, which started the parak off, talked about various stringencies that relate to hektish, to consecrated stuff, items that are related to karbanos, as opposed to truma, items that are related to the truma gift that's given to the kohen. And now we're going to flip it. And this Mishnah is talking about stringencies relating to truma that don't relate to kachim. In other words, areas where truma, where we treat truma with more stringency than we treat hektish, than we treat kachim, than we treat items for the base of Mikdash. So let's see the Mishnah. Chomer bitruma, one chumra, or the chumra of truma, is Shabi Yehuda nemanin altaras yayin v'shemen kol yimos hashana. So in Yehuda, and we'll see what in the Gemara, why we distinguish between Yehuda and the Galil, different parts of Eretz Yisrael, but in Yehuda at least, so nemanim ame haaretz, people who are not necessarily so learned and don't really, are not necessarily so careful, so they're believed when they state or when they certify that that kodesh, that stuff that's related to the Beis Hamikdash. For example, let's say they're making wine, they're processing wine, or they're processing oil, and they're hoping for that wine or oil to be used for nesachim, for libations in the Beis Hamikdash. So those, that wine and that oil has to be tahor. It can't have, it couldn't have come into contact with a dead body or the sheretz or all sorts of other things. And so we need to rely on the people processing these products when they certify to us that that in fact that these are ritually pure, that they're tahor. So they are believed all year round when it comes to wine and oil that the product is tahor. That's with respect to bringing it to the base of Migdash. With respect to truma, however, the Mishnah says uvishas hagitos v'abadim afal truma. When it comes to truma, there we only believe them when they certify that these items are tahor, that these items are pure, at the time when during the season when they're typically processed. Because as the Mefarshim explained, during this time of year, they're handling a large quantity of wine and oil. And if we were to hold them to a higher standard and not believe these Amei Aretz, not believe these people, that they're tahor at this time of year, so then huge swaths of produce of wine and oil produced in Israel would not be considered tahor. It would be a hardship on the Kohanim, because Kohanim could never rely on them as being tahor, right? Truma itself has to be tahor. You can't eat it if it's tame, and it would be a problem. And so therefore, we suspend the normal lack of belief with respect to Amei Aretz when it comes to truma for this part of the year when they're producing a lot. And only during the parts of the year where they're not producing a lot do we say that they're not believed. But at least for truma, during the parts of the year when they are producing a lot, we believe them that this truma is tahor. As opposed to kudshim. As opposed to kudshim, for the libations and for the libations, we're going to say that all year round, we believe them that the stuff is tahor. And the assumption is that they're more careful when it comes to kudshim than they are when it comes to truma. Okay. Avru hagitos v'abadim. Let's say it's not that time of year now. It's not the season where they're producing a lot of the oils or wines. Ve'viu lo chavis shel yayin shel truma. And in Am Haaretz, an unlearned person gives to the Kohen a barrel of wine or a barrel of oil and says that it's truma. Lo yukablenu mimenu. The Kohen should not receive it from him because it's presumed to be tameh. Aval meinicha l'gas haba. But the person who was giving it, the Am Haaretz, the unlearned person who was offering this stuff, this barrel of wine or oil to the Kohen, he should hold it until next year. Now, it's a little odd because the presumption is that he wasn't so careful this time of year because he's not producing a lot. But we're going to say that the Takana Drabanan, that he's not believed as to the tohar status of these this produce, even though that's true this time of year. But if we just allow him to hold on to it, we'll allow him to give it when during the time of year when we do believe him. Fine. V'im amar lo hifrashti u'tochar revias kodesh neman. However, if this amar, it's this unlearned person, says that within this barrel of truma wine, there's also contained kodesh, there's also contained wine that is consecrated for libations for the nesachim in the Beis HaMikdash, so then, because there's truma and hekdesh and kodesh mixed in together, so therefore we'll allow him, we'll say that he's actually neman on the whole thing. In other words, once you have a certain part of it that has a hekdesh or that has a kodesh standard, that has a kodesh designation, and we believe the Am Haaretz with respect to the tahara of that portion, so we'll say that the whole thing is tahor, even the part that is designated as truma. Fine. And then we say kadayayin in the kadesh shemen. What about not the product inside, but the actual barrels themselves? The barrels themselves have some seepage of the oil of the wine in them. And so do we say that those barrels are considered tamei or tahor? So the Mishnah says kadayayin, the kadesh shemen, hamidu maos, that are mixed together, and we'll see on Amud Beis in our Gemara what that means, mixed together, what's mixed together. Ne'manim aleihem b'shas hagitos. We do believe them at the time of year, we presume that these barrels are pure, are tahor, at the time of year where they're processing shemen and yayin, meaning the busy season. B'shas hagitos v'abadim v'kodim hagitos shivim yamim. Not only that, but for 70 days prior. The Gemara is going to explain on Amud Beis that the processing season, or the time where the workers start to get these barrels ready, is already 70 days before the busy season, before they start really processing the wine and the shemen. And so for that entire time, the barrels are presumed to be tahar, just like the wine is produced, or presumed to be tahar, just like the shemen is presumed to be tahar. Okay. So the Mishnah, the Gemara now is going to analyze the first part of the Mishnah. If we recall, we said that it's specifically in Yehuda, in the parts of Eretz Yisrael of Yehuda, Yerushalayim, it's like kind of the central part of Yerushalayim, the Shevet Yehuda, where Yerushalayim is. Only in Yehuda do we consider the wine and the oil to be tahor. Do we believe the Am Haaretz that when he produced it for the purpose of Kodesh, of wine libations of Nesachim, for wine and Shemin, that he produced it Betara, and that it has a Tahor status, and only in Yehuda, but not for other parts of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara immediately asks, be Yehuda in Begalilo, why should it be only wine and oil produced in Yehuda that is presumed to be Tahor at the say-so of the producer? Why not every part of Eretz Yisrael? Why not in Galil, in the Galil? Yehuda in Begalilo, so my time. So Reish Lakish says that at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, at that time, there was a strip of land that ran from west to east that kind of cut Eretz Yisrael in half, so that the parts beyond that line, the Galil, so they were not considered, we're not going to be able to rely on those wine and oil produced in those parts. We're only going to be able to rely on the parts in Yehuda. And the reason is because this strip of land has a designation of Tumas Eretz Amim. There's a Gzeirah Drabanan generally, that any land outside of Eretz Yisrael is presumptively Tamei, because we don't know where the cemeteries are. History has been going on for a long time, and people have been buried all sorts of different places for a long time. And so we're not sure where the cemeteries are, where people might have been buried, and therefore all land outside of Eretz Yisrael is presumptively tamei. We presume that there might be burial grounds anywhere, and that's relevant for these halachos of Tumah and Tahara. And so similarly, this strip of land in Eretz Yisrael proper that cuts across and cuts Eretz Yisrael in half, this strip of land is a place where the Kutim were inhabited. The Kutim were a nation that were kind of brought into Eretz Yisrael by at the time of the exile of the Aseres HaShvatim, of the 10 tribes. So the Kutim were brought in to repopulate it. And there's a machlokas as to what their status is. They converted, but the machlokas is whether their conversion was an earnest conversion or whether they only converted under the threat of force. We're assuming here that their conversion was no good, or at least that they were not careful about Tumah and Tahara, and therefore the strip of land that they inhabited is presumptively Tameh. We don't know where the burial grounds are. And therefore, because that strip of land is Tameh, there's no way of transporting the oil and wine for the libations from the Galil to Yerushalayim. Because you'd have to cut across that strip of land. And once you cut across that strip of land holding a barrel of wine or a barrel of oil in your wagon or holding it, the Tumah of that land will infect the Shemen or Yayin, and therefore render it unable to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the problem. And so therefore the Mishnah said that you only really need to think about Yayin and Shemen in Yehuda proper, where you could transport it easily to the Beis HaMikdash without rendering it Tameh. From the Galil, it's irrelevant because you can't transport that to Yehuda, you can't transport that to Yerushalayim. That's why this Mishnah only talked about the wine and oil in Yehuda. So the Gemara then says, "Venesiv b'shida teva migdal." So it says, understanding that there is this strip of land, of Tameh land, that cuts across Eretz Yisrael, that's all fine and good, but why can't you still transport the wine or the oil over that land by putting it in a separate compartment that you're going to carry over? Meaning just because anything that traverses over that strip of land becomes Tameh normally, but isn't there a way of protecting kachim? Isn't there a way of protecting certain items by putting it in a sealed container and not dragging that container over the ground, but by raising it or putting it in a wagon? And if it's a big enough container, it's not mekabel tumah, and it'll protect what's inside that container from becoming tumah. So the Gemara answer is Hamani Rebbe Hi. This mission is going according to the opinion of Rebbe, Damar Ohel Zaruk Lav Shmei Ohel, who holds that a container, a self-contained container that doesn't drag on the ground but is lifted on in the air, is not considered an Ohel, meaning doesn't have its own independent domain, and it's considered kind of batel to the land. It's not considered contained and insulated from the tumah that emanates from the land, and we see this in a brisa. D'tanya hanichnas la'aretz ha'amim b'sheda teva migdal. So again, we're talking now again about tumas eretz ha'amim, which was a gezeirah drabbanan that all land outside of Eretz Yisrael is presumptively tameh, just like this strip of land of the kusim that mazmaf sekes benan that ran across the. East to west across Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Amim is presumptively Tameh. But let's say you enter Eretz Amim not on your foot or not in a car, but you were in this, or maybe a car would actually count, but you were in this self-contained vehicle that was lifted above the ground and carried above someone's shoulders or carried on a wagon. And it was of sufficient dimension that it should have its own separate domain, presumably insulating what's inside from the tumah that comes from the land. So there's a machokas tanaim there. Rebbe metame. Rebbe says that separate domain in the insulated capsule is not insulated from the tumah, and it becomes tumah just like any other person traversing through Eretz Amim, through lands outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Matayar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he is of the opinion that that this separate OL, Shida Teva Migdal, this separate compartment that's being carried above Eretz Amim does insulate the contains of it, what does insulate what's inside of it from the Tumah that emanates from the ground and is Tahor. And so our answer here is, In fact, there's no way of transporting oil and wine from the Galil to Yehuda if you have to traverse this strip of land that has a status of Tamei, because even if you put it in a compartment that you might think is sealed from the Tumah because of its size and because it's separate, because it's raised above the ground, that doesn't work according to Rebbe, and our Mishnah is according to Rebbe. And so that's why the Mishnah referred to Yehuda specifically and didn't allow, it wasn't addressing wine and oil from the Galil. So then the Gemara suggests something else, slightly different. Why don't you just put this wine or oil in a kli cheres, in a earthenware vessel that is sealed, that is absolutely sealed? And the status of an earthenware vessel is an earthenware vessel only becomes tame from its inside, right? It's only if you lower something inside of it that it becomes tame, but it doesn't become tame from its outside. And so therefore, if you seal up the earthenware vessel and transport the wine or the oil across this Tumas Eretz Amim, across this strip of land that has a Tame status, in a sealed earthenware vessel, that should insulate it from the Tuma that emanates from that strip of land. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Eliezer, Shonu Rav Eliezer says, we have a bunch of Tanaim that taught us, Ein Hekdesh Nitzol Mitzamid Psil. There's a simple rule that Kodesh status, Hekdesh status, items with Hekdesh status is not insulated from being Mekabel Tuma simply by virtue of it being inside of a sealed earthenware vessel. So the Gemara tests that a little and says, Vatayim, but don't we have a brace that says, Ein Chatas Nitzelas Mitzamid Psil, that Mei chatas, mei afar para, right? We've talked about it previously in Gemara Chagiga, that there are different levels of tum and tara, right? Truma was a lower status than Kodesh, but a higher status yet is the status of chatas, meaning the status of the water that had the afar of the para aduma mixed into it that would purify people from the tuma status of having come in contact with a dead person. And so we're now quoting a braisa that says that mechatas, water that has the afar paraduma mixed into it, that isn't insulated from tuma by virtue of being inside an earthenware vessel that's sealed. But the implication is that anything of a lower status is insulated. My lav, ha kodesh nitzol. The implication is that something that's merely kodesh, a step below chatas, is insulated by virtue of being inside a sealed earthenware vessel. So the Gemara answers, no, don't draw that implication. The implication when the Brisa said, ein chatas nitzelas, that only efer, mei efer para is not insulated, is that ha mayim she'ena mekudashim nitzolim b'tzavim b'seil. The implication was just that something a slight step below the status of the mei afar para, of the water that has the ashes mixed in, is insulated by the tzavim b'seil, and that is water that has not yet been mixed with the ashes. In other words, the braisa means to say that the water that's been mixed with the ashes, that is not insulated from tuma by virtue of being inside a sealed earthenware vessel. But the implication is that water that has not yet been mixed with the ashes, that is insulated by virtue of being inside a sealed earthenware vessel. But it's not to say that Kodesh is insulated. Fine. The Gemara then says, V'amar u'a chavriya madkin begalila menichin. I'm sorry, chavriya madkin begalila. So we just answered our main question on the Mishnah by explaining that you can't really prepare oil and wine in the Galil for purposes of the libations on the Mizbeach, for the Beis HaMikdash, for Kodesh, because there's no way of viably transporting it to Yerushalayim, to Yehuda, because of this strip of land that's presumptively Tameh. But the problem is that Ula is quoted as saying that the the farmers, the producers in the Galil, produced wine and oil for the Beis Hamikdash. So what's going on? How do you explain that? The right answer is manichin. They would actually produce it and they would keep it ready to go. They would use it, they would produce it, with the assuming that they're going to use it once Mashiach comes, once the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. Rashi explains that when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he'll show us the way to Yerushalayim without running into Tumas Eretz Amim. He'll show us where dead bodies are not buried in that corridor. And that'll allow us to transport oil and wine from Galil to Yehuda, to Yerushalayim, and for use in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah further. Vishas agitos nemanim afal truma. So we said, during the parts of the year where there's mass production of wine and oil, then even Amearetz, even people who are unlearned and who would not ordinarily be trusted, they are trusted on the regarding the truma. There's an assumption at that point that they're going to be careful. There's a Rashi on Amud Beis that we'll see later that explains that the whole basis for this heter is the fact that it's just untenable to passel all wine and oil that's produced during this time, because that's the time when all of it's produced, and it's produced, a lot of it is produced by Amearetz, people who are unlearned, and you'd end up passeling all sorts of wine and oil. And it would be bad for the Kohanim. They wouldn't get their due share. And so we suspend this Gzeirah Rabbanan during the busy season of production and say that even Amearetz are presumed to know what they're doing and are careful about the Tumah Taharah status of the wine and oil. Okay. So the Gemara then says, Rimini, we have a contradiction. Hagomer Zesav, someone who's finishing up collecting his olives from his vines, Yeshayer Kupa Achas V'yitnena L'ani Kohen. At that point, he should leave a box of olives and use that for the Ani Kohen. Now, the idea here is that how does something become Tameh? So a produce, a vegetable, can only become Tameh. We know this from the Pesach Seder. It only can become Tameh if it's wet, if it's Hukshar Tumah. If it's a dry vegetable, it will not contract Tumah, even if it touches a Tameh person, right? But once it becomes Tameh, once it becomes Hukshar Tumah, once it becomes wet, it will become susceptible to Tumah status. But there's an exception to that. That's only true if the owner of the produce wants that produce to be wet, if he's happy about its wet status. But if in the period while he's still harvesting it, a little bit of oil oozes from the olives and makes those olives wet, that's something that this farmer doesn't want, because he wants his olives to stay perfectly intact for the entire time that he's bringing them in. And it's only once he brings them into the threshing area and the production area does he want them to start oozing oil and producing oil for him. But on his field, he doesn't want them producing oil. Which means that so long as they're not fully harvested, so long as they're not brought into his house, so long as they're not all collected and brought into the production area, they're not susceptible of tumah. And so this braisa that we're quoting from is saying that you should collect a part of your production while it's still being gathered, prior to the end of the harvesting process, and at that point, and save some of that and give that to the Kohen. The idea being that we're worried, presumably what we're worried about is that if you wait till it's all inside, when you've waited till the full harvest is over, and now you have all the stuff collected, and you wait till then to give it to the Kohen, at that point, oil might have oozed out of it. You're not so upset about that oil oozing out because it's already, you've moved on to the oil production stage, and therefore that oil will render these olives susceptible of tumah status, and because you're an Amaretz, you're going to make it tameh, potentially, and that's all bad because now you're giving tameh truma to a kohen, and that's all bad. So from the fact that the Brisa warns you and admonishes you and tells you to only collect the truma from the stuff that has not yet been brought inside during from the stuff that you have not yet finished the harvesting on, that indicates that we're concerned about tumah status with respect to the zaysim. Was that clear? That makes sense? Okay. So that's what he says. Agomer zaysav yishayir kupa achas. Keep a extra part of it. Take a box of those olives while they're still prior to the end of the gathering. Then elani kohen, and then give it to the kohen. Again, this implicates or this implies that if you were to bring it, if you were to separate it later, it would be susceptible of tumah. That cuts against what we just said in our Mishnah, which said that if you're giving truma during the harvesting season, during the production season, we're not worried about the amaretz making the olives tumah. So Amar of Nachman lo kasha, habecharfe habaafle. This is talking about, this brisa that we just quoted is talking about later in the season. Charfi means the earlier in the season. Haba'afle, this is talking about later in the season where it's not the Shas Hagitos anymore, meaning it's not the busy season for producing wine and oil anymore. And that's why here the brisa admonishes you to separate your truma from the harvesting while it's still in the field so that it's not yet susceptible to tumah. Because we're outside of the harvest, we're outside of the wine production season and the oil production season at this point, and at this point in the year, we don't trust the Amei Aretz with respect to Tumah. Amlei Rav Ada Bar Ava, Kagon Mai, what are we talking about specifically? Kosen Shel Beis Avicha, so he answered like your father. Your father would harvest late in the season after the production season had already ended. Rav Yossi Amar Begalilo Shanu. Rav Yossi answers a different answer than what we just answered. He says, Beglilo Shanu, that this brisa, which seems to be worried about the olives becoming tameh, that's talking about specifically in the Galil. And when the Mishnah said specifically that these halachas apply to Yehuda, it wasn't talking only about the first part, which we dealt with in the first part of the Gemara, but it's talking about both parts of the Mishnah. This too is only true in Yehuda, meaning this heter to say that wine and oil that's produced during the busy season is not presumptively tameh, even if it comes from an amaris, even if it comes from an unlearned person, that's true only in Yehuda, but in the Galil we always worry about tumah. And so this brisa that we just quoted, which implied that you are worried about the tameh status, this was talking about the Galil. Esave Abaye, Ever Hayardein VaGalil Harein Ki Yehuda. So Abaye now brings a challenge to that, because we have another brisa that says that the Galil and Yehuda are in the same boat for these purposes. Everything's considered like Yehuda. Specifically, Nemanim Alayayim B'Shas Ayayim V'Al Hashem B'Shas Hashemen. That you believe the Amaretz, that you don't worry about Tumah of the Amaretz in the busy season. Avalo al yayin b'shas Hashem, and avalo Hashem b'shas yayin, but not during the busy season. Meaning, during the busy season, we don't worry about Tumah status. So this seems to undercut what we just said, what Rav Yosef just said, that in the Galil it's different. So elo machvarta kishanino meikara, we'll go back to our first answer. Our first answer, again, was that we're talking that this brisa, which implied that we are worried about the tumah status, that was talking about where it's harvested later in the season, after the busy season for production of wine and shemen had already ended, and that's why there we are worried about the tumah and tahara. Okay. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Avru hagisos ve'abadim ve'evyu lo chavis shal yayin lo yikabwenu heimenu ava minicho gas haba. So again, our Mishnah said that if the Ama Aretz gives the stuff to the Kohen during the busy season for production, that's when we suspend the Gzer Drabanan and we say that he's not presumed to have been metame the produce. But if he's giving it to him after the season's over, so then the Kohen shouldn't take it from him, but rather the Am Haaretz should hold on to it, keep it in his storehouse, and give it to the Kohen next time that there is a busy season, next year, the busy season next year, when again the Gezeir Drabanan is suspended. So, Ba Mine Merev Sheshes. So they asked Rav Sheshes the following question. Avar v'kibla mahu. What should the Kohen do if the Kohen did accept this barrel of wine or oil from the Am Haaretz when it was not the busy season for production? And when we say that he should be worried about the tumah status of the produce. Mahu shi'anichenu ugas haba. Is it permissible for the Kohen to set it aside, put it in his storehouse, and wait till the next busy season for production? Does that work? In other words, when the Chachamim suspended their gzeira and said that during the busy season we don't worry about the tumah status, was that just to say that at that time the Am Haaretz can give it to the Kohen and the Kohen doesn't have to worry about tumah of the truma? Or did it mean even further than that, that the entire gzeira is suspended entirely, so that even if the Kohen hadn't received it during that season, he had received it during the not busy season, the Kohen can simply set it aside and then take it out during the busy season and at that point enjoy it without worrying about its tummy status. So Amar Luhu Tanisua. So he said to him, Rav Sheshes responded to them, let's explore this by quoting a completely unrelated halacha that we're about to say. So here's the halacha, turning to Amud Beis. Chaver v'am haaretz sheyarshu es aviyim. So let's say you have a Talmud Chacham and an Am Haaretz and an unlearned person that are brothers, right? The one brother went to yeshiva and he learned very well. The other brother didn't succeed in yeshiva. He doesn't really know what's going on. And so therefore he is susceptible, or he is subject to this Gezeir Drabanan, where we worry about whether he might have been metame something. We don't trust that everything that comes out of his hands is automatically tahor. So you have a chaver and Am Haaretz, the Talmud Chacham, and his brother, the Am Haaretz. And they inherited from their farmer father. The farmer father, the father is a farmer, and he dies, and he leaves them fields with produce. Now, some of this produce is of some variety, one variety, let's say it's wheat, and other produce is of other varieties, some of the fields is some variety and others of other varieties. So let's say wine and grapes and wheat. So the Gemara says, or the Brisa says, Chaver v'am haaretz shirashu asaviyem, am haaretz yochol lo marlo. I'm sorry. Start again. Chaver v'amaretz shirashu asaviyem amaretz. So the father was also an amaretz. I'm sorry. I forgot to say that. It's an important point. The father is also amaretz. So that means that the father can't be trusted to have produced all this produce b'tahara. His stuff is also presumptively tameh. So yachol lo marlo, the chaver, the Talmud Chacham, can say to the amaretz, to his brother, Tula ta chitim shebemakom ploni, vani chitim shebemakom ploni. Tula ta yain shebemakom ploni, vani yain shebemakom ploni. So he can say to him, let's say there's a big wheat field and a big olive, a big grape orchard, right? So he could say to him, I want to take certain areas and I want to give you other areas. Because the Talmud Chacham knows that there are certain parts that have already passed the status of Hukshru, that are susceptible of becoming Tameh. And there are other parts that are not susceptible of becoming Tameh. So this Talmud Chacham, I don't think this is a very nice thing to do, but this Talmud Chacham can say, I want to take the part that never became Tameh, and you take the parts that might have become Tameh. Now, I think this might be a problem if he knew for sure that the stuff was Tameh. But what we're dealing with is a Gezeir Drabanan, that someone who knows what they're doing is not allowed to take from a Am Haaretz, because we're worried that potentially that Am Haaretz was Matameh the stuff. Here, we don't know for sure that the Am Haaretz was Matameh the stuff. And this Talmud Chacham just wants to comply with halacha. So he only wants to take from the parts of the field that he knows could not possibly have become tameh because they never became hukshiru with tuma. They never became wet, or they weren't sufficiently taken inside. So the wetness might not have made it tameh. For whatever reason it is, he knows that parts of the fields are potentially tameh, and parts of it could not have ever become tameh because they never reached the status of hukshiru. They never became wet in a way that they could become tameh. So this Talmud Chacham wants to say to the Amaretz brother, I'll take the good parts that could never possibly have become tameh, and you take the parts that could possibly have become tameh that are possibly problematic. So the Braisa says he can say that. He can do that. Aval, lo yomer lo, to'ata lach v'ani yavesh, to'ata chitim v'ani sorim. However, when the good stuff and the bad stuff is kind of mixed together, when there are different varieties that we're talking about, so then you can't divvy that up in a way that I'm taking certain varieties and you're taking other varieties, where I'm taking the wet of one variety, you're taking the dry of the other variety. Or while I'm taking one variety, you're taking another. That's not okay. So the way Rashi explains this is it has to do with the intricacies of Breira. If we were talking about one variety, let's say, for example, a chitim field, where I'm taking one half and you're taking another half, so then when we split it up, so Breira, the idea of Breira means retroactive designation. Retroactively, it's as if I inherited that half, and you inherited that half from the moment that our father died. As opposed to if it's mixed up stuff in the second part here, so then Breira doesn't apply, and we both inherited the whole amount jointly, and therefore my designation now of half of it to me and half of it to you, it's as if we're doing a trade. So the difference here is between whether I inherited this half directly from my father and you inherited that half directly from your father, or whether we both jointly inherited everything and now I'm swapping parts of it with you for other parts of it. The first part is not problematic because if I inherited this part of the field directly from my father and you inherited that part of the field directly from the father, so then good, I inherited the good part that then never could have become tameh. You inherited the bad part that could have been tameh, and Breira says that you inherited that, I inherited this, and no one's done anything terrible. As opposed to the situation where it's mixed up and we inherited it jointly, and now I'm doing a trade, so Rashi says doing that trade is lifnei iver. That's potentially putting you, that's an active trade, that's potentially putting you in a place where you could be over the isser of tumah, of eating this betumah and giving it to a kohen betumah, dealing with this in a tamei status. V'tani Allah, and it says on that braisa, Oso chaver soreif halach umeiniach es hayavesh. So it says that chaver, meaning that brother who's the Talmud Chacham, in the latter situation where he couldn't swap it with his brother, because that would have been a problem of ufnei iver, he should simply burn anything that's wet, and anything that's dry, he should wait and hold, right? And the Gemara says, "Amaya nichena." What's he holding it for? Lagas haba, for the future, for the later period, where, according to our Mishnah, you don't have to worry about it because during the busy period, we are assuming that any amaretz or the stuff that had been produced by any amaretz has a tahar status. So So that seems to be an answer to our question, right? Our question had been, if you received the shemen or yayin, if you had received the oil or the wine from the Amma Aretz, can you, the Kohen, simply put it aside and pull it out next season and assume at that point that it's tahor? And here we seem to be saying explicitly that in a situation where you received stuff that was potentially tameh because it comes from an amaretz and you don't know what to do with it, so it specifically says meniach es hayavish, you could set it aside. That seems to be saying Again, I think I read this wrong. Hold on 1 second. That seems to be saying that you can put it aside, which would be indicating that in our situation as well, you could simply put away that barrel of wine or oil, and next busy season you pull it out, and it's presumed to be tahor. So the Gemara answers, "Bedaver she'ein lo gas." Okay, I completely read that wrong. Let me go back one line. Sorry for lach miniach hasayavish. Miniach hasayavish means set it aside. You can't do anything with it. The Gemara says, "Amai, why do you have to set it aside?" Right, again, we're talking about the situation with the brothers. So the brother, with respect to the stuff that's mixed, there's no quick solution. I can't just assign the bad stuff to my brother and keep the good stuff. It's gone. There's nothing I can do about it. So the Gemara says, "Sorry, salach minyas yavish." You have to set it aside. You can't use it. So the Gemara says, "Amai, why should you have to set it aside? Yanichenu l'gasaba." The fact that we're saying you set it aside and you can't use it, that indicates just the opposite. That indicates that you can't ever salvage this stuff. It's tamei presumptively forever. And just because the new season comes doesn't mean that it's tahor again. Right? If it was true that you were be able to salvage it, you should be able to salvage it next season. Right? So the Gemara answer is, "Bedavar she'en lo gas." So the Gemara answer is, no, we're talking in this braisa about produce that doesn't have a busy season. So there's no time of the year where it's presumptively tahor. Rashi says it's like beer that's made from dates. Beer that's made from dates doesn't have a busy season. People make beer from dates all year round or sell them. But it doesn't have a busy season where it's presumptively tahor. So the Gemara is docha that answer by saying this is something that is engelgas, that doesn't have a busy season. And that's why in this braisa, the braisa said set it aside and you can't use it. Gemara says, okay, well, even if it doesn't have a busy season, there's another time of year where the Gezer Drabanan is set aside, and things that are otherwise presumptively tame because they come from an Amaretz are tahor, and that is during the holiday season. Why don't you wait until, or set it aside until the regel, until the holiday, when you could then enjoy it again? The Gemara answer is B'davar Sheinu Mishtamer L'Regel. It's a certain thing that's not that won't stay around. It'll become rotten. It'll spoil, and therefore that can't be. So the bottom line is we don't have a proof one way or the other to the question of whether you could set it aside and use it the next busy season. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah said, "V'im amar hifrashdi u'tolcha revius kodesh neman." If in the barrel the Amaretz didn't only have wine and oil that contains in it truma, or that is truma, or that contains in its truma that has not yet been separated, but he also says, I also designated a certain portion of it that's undesignated now, but he's going to designate it later, a certain portion of it I've designated as kodesh, as usable for the Beis HaMikdash, so then he is Neman, and he's believed to say that this stuff is tahor. So the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, Modin Beis Shami Ubisil Shabod Kim Ose Pesach Vein Bod King Ochoi Truma. So this is a Mishnah in Oholos that's talking about the halacha of a Beis HaPras. There are certain areas where we're unsure if a dead body was is present there. We know that there were bodies buried there, or might have been buried there. There's reason to believe there were bodies that were buried there. And because of the uncertainty, we call that a Beis HaPras, and Midrabanan, you can't go there with Truma or with Kodesh, with Hekdesh. So let's say a person, the only way for him to get to the Beis HaMikdash, the only way for him to get where he needs to get with his Truma or with his Karban Pesach is by passing through that uncertain area. So the Mishnah there says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree, Shabod King Ose Pesach, that there's a way to check if, in fact, there are remnants of the dead body in that area that will be useful and will allow you to traverse that area with your Karban Pesach, holding the Karban Pesach, but where we don't allow you to traverse that area with Truma. Why would that be? The Karban Pesach has a time limit. Let's say it's Erev Pesach, right? And you need to eat your Pesach. You need to get to where you're going to eat your Pesach. And so therefore, you're under pressure. And so we're going to suspend this Gezeirah Drabanan of not passing through the Beis HaPras. And we'll say that if you're able to check, in a moment we'll see how you check. If you're able to check, we'll allow you to pass through that area in order to process and in order to eat your Karban Pesach. But we're not going to allow you to do it for Truma. So my Bodkin, because Truma doesn't have a time limit. Truma you could eat any time. So my Bodkin, how do you check? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Menafech Adam Beis HaPras V'Holech. You simply blow on the soil, and if when you blow on the soil it doesn't reveal any bones, then you know that you can pass through. Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Mishmeidu Amar Beis HaPras Shen Nidash Tohar. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says no, that when we say Bodkin, what that really means is to say is that if it's a well-traversed area, then we could assume that it's been well-traversed, that any bones might be pushed to the side or pushed down under the soil. You're not going to run into any problem of touching any bones. And that's what we mean to say when we say bodek, and that's the area that you can pass through. If it's a well-trodden area, you could pass through it for Pesach because there's a time limit. You're running against the deadline, but not for Truma. We ose Pesach lo'imidu divrayem b'makom kares. And now we're explaining the distinction between Pesach. We ose Pesach lo'imidu divrayem b'makom kares. You're going to be over a kares if you don't bring your Pesach. There's a ticking time, a ticking watch. You got to do it. Lo'chei truma imidu divrayem b'makom misa. But by truma, there's no big rush. There's a chi of misa for eating truma b'tuma. And so therefore, the gezer drabanan is going to apply. Iboy luhu. Gemara asks, "Badak lepischa mahu shiocho b'trumaso." Let's say you checked this Beis HaPras for Karban Pesach purposes, and you're also holding truma at the same time. So, if you already checked it for Karban Pesach purposes, can you rely on that checking and eat your truma that has passed through as well? Right, because we said that the Gzeirah Drabanan is suspended for purposes of Pesach. So once it's suspended for Pesach, if at the same time you're holding Truma, does that suspension apply to the Truma as well? Uga Amar Badak Opischo Mutter Lechol B'Trumaso. Rabba Bar Uga Amar Badak Opischo Aser Lechol B'Trumaso. So it's a machlokes between Uga and Rabba Bar Uga. It's a machlokes as to whether, if you were checked it for your Karban Pesach, that check has a subsidiary use that you could use it for your Truma. So Amar Leia Husaba, so a certain older man said, Lo tifl galea du'ula. You shouldn't be so quick. He said to Rabba Bar Ba'ula, don't be so quick to argue with your father Ula. Ditnan kavase, because we have a Mishnah that supports his view. And what's that Mishnah? That Mishnah is our Mishnah. Vim Amar Ifrash Yuatocha Revius Kodesh Neman. Because we said in our Mishnah that, again, with respect to Truma, we're worried about the tummy status. But if the Zamarit said that there is also Hekdesh or also Kodesh mixed in with that Truma, so since the Kodesh, we believe him for that it's not Tamei, so willy-nilly, we're going to also apply that suspension of the Gezerah with respect to the Truma. Alma mide mehemen ha-Kodesh mehemen namia Truma. This idea applies, that if you already are going to matir that barrel of wine and shemen, for Kodesh purposes, so we're going to apply it for Truma purposes as well. Hachanami midem hemen ha-pesach mehemen namia Truma. So the same thing should apply here. If we're going to suspend the Gzer Drabanan for this Beis HaPras, for the possible place where there might have been fragments of bones with respect to Pesach because there's a ticking deadline, so mehemen namia Truma, we're also going to suspend it for Truma. Okay, Kadayim v'Kadayshem. Now we're going to talk about the status of the barrels themselves. Does that necessarily follow the status of the Truma? Remember, we had said that we are going to believe the Samaritz during the busy season that the Truma is Tahar. We're going to believe him all year round with respect to the Tuma status of the Kodesh. And what's the status of the barrels? Does that apply to the barrels as well? So Tana, okay, so our Mishnah said, what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said, Nemanim. Bishas Hagitos. So the Gemara that during the busy season we believe them with respect to the barrels. So Tana, now we have a brace that says Einemanim lo akalkanim v'lo atruma. You don't believe the Amaretz with respect to the tumah status of the barrels, or with respect to the truma. So now we're going to analyze this. What are we talking about specifically? Kalkanim demai. Which kankanim are we talking about? Which barrels are we talking about? Ikan kanim de kodesh. If we're talking about kodesh, kodshim, the higher level, migu de mehmen hakodesh mehmen amya kankanim. So shouldn't it be obviously true that if you're believed with respect to the status of the tumah status of the kodesh, you should be believed with respect to the barrels as well? It should flow through. El kankanim de truma. So, but what are you going to say then? We're talking about the kankanim of truma pshita. So then this brisa would not be teaching you anything, because the status again should flow through. If the truma you're not believed that they're tahor, so then you shouldn't be believed that the barrels are tahor either. So we're going to say that the brisa is talking about a more complicated situation. Ela berekanim de kodesh. We're talking about uvasharim osashana. We're talking about the status of the barrels all year round with respect to kodshim. Uvimulein de truma ubishas hagitos, and we're talking about when they're full with truma, but at the times of the gitos. In other words, what this brisa seems to be saying is something a little more complicated, and to say that when it comes to kodesh, right? This brisa said einemanim lakankanim, that you were not believed. He's not believed to say that the barrels are tahor. We assume that the barrels are tame. And so what we're saying is that's applying, it's an adding a level of chumrah. That just because the rabbis suspended the gezerah with respect to kodshim all year round, they never applied it there, they assumed that the Amorites are more careful with respect to kodshim, and they suspended it with respect to truma during the busy season, that suspension of status doesn't apply to the barrels themselves. It only applied to the produce themselves where we really need that produce. As Rashi points out here, as we pointed out before, with respect to truma, one of the reasons why they suspended the gezerah with respect to truma is because the kohanim need that truma. There would be no truma, and there would not be enough truma if we assume that all truma produced by any Am Haaretz has a tameh status. So they suspended it. But you don't need to suspend it with respect to the barrels. The barrels can still become tameh. So we're saying that this price is teaching us that once you emptied out the barrel of kodesh, even though the kodesh is tahor, the barrels are tameh, and the truma as well, even though the truma is tahor in the busy season, the barrels themselves are tameh. But the Gemara then says that's a problem. Tanan, it's a problem because we have our Mishnah said that the barrel status follows the truma status, that just like the truma is tahor in the busy season, the barrels are also tahor in the busy season. Tanan, kade yayin, kade shemen, amadumos, my love, midumos de truma. Presumably, midumos means mixed in, the kodesh and chol, the truma and the chulin. Usually midumos is a word that we use in the context of truma. My love, midumos de truma, and our Mishnah is saying that even though that during the busy season, not only the truma is tahor, but the barrels also are truma. Midumos de kodesh. No, it's talking about the kodesh, that since the kodesh is tahor all year round, it's talking about a mixture of kodesh. Mika dimua kodesh, the Gemara says, do you ever have the word dimua medumos used with respect to kodshim? Amri debe raviloi, b'metairis tivwa litomi menu nesachim. In this situation, we do apply that word of meduma, because meduma just means mixture. And we're talking about a situation where a person said that I have a barrel filled with oil or filled with wine, and I'm going to apply kodesh status to part of it. And so this is the odd situation where we can use a word of mixture, midumos, to describe kodshim as well. And that's what our Mishnah said. But in fact, the truma, even though the truma is considered tahor during the busy season, the barrels are not, because the barrels don't need to have that status. Then the Gemara says, kodom magitos shivim yom, that these barrels are considered tahor, considered pure, for a full 70 days prior to the busy season. Amar Abai, Shmamina dinahu diluya arisa umitrach agolfe shivim yomin makmi matzarta, that we see from this that the arisim the sharecroppers, they would start preparing the barrels and start preparing these things even 70 days right before the 70 days before the busy season. Okay, it was a little complicated, this Gemara. I apologize if it was a little choppy. Thank you. But that's
thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Shkoyach.
Thank you.